this summer and want to avoid Lyme disease, here's the advice of the day. You wear long sleeves and pants. You tuck your pant cuffs into your socks. Check yourself regularly for ticks, which spread the disease. But for a time in the late 90s and early 2000s, people had the option to take an even more preventative step. They could get a Lyme disease vaccine. No longer. To explain the history of Lyme disease in this country and why getting that vaccine is no longer an option, Dr. Robert A. Aronowitz is with us now, a medical doctor and professor at the University of Pennsylvania. Doctor, welcome.
Great to be here.
Can you give us, first of all, the Cliff Notes version of Lyme disease in this country, its discovery and where it's concentrated, and really the nature of this disease?
Yeah, so it was discovered, and I'll put that in air quotes, in the mid-1970s in New England, and it has the name Lyme disease from Lyme, Connecticut, where there was an epidemic or a cluster of childhood arthritis and fever and other unexplained symptoms. At first, they thought it must be a virus because there was a lot of interest in viruses that cause arthritis, but a few years later, an entomologist named Willie Bergdorfer discovered that a bacteria, a spirochete, was in the gut of a tick in an area that was endemic for what was then called Lyme disease. You know, since Lyme disease was named, essentially, there was controversy over what exactly Lyme disease is, despite the fact that from a medical point of view, it seems pretty straightforward, and the medical discovery seemed pretty quick, including its response to antibiotics.
So if you were looking at Lyme disease from the orthodoxy point of view, that it means the medical establishment, how widespread and how serious is this disease today?
Well, it's a serious disease. It's the most common tick-borne infection. You know, it's reportable to the CDC. I had Lyme disease twice, let me tell you. It can be painful. You have a very severe flu-like illness, and sometimes that's associated with things like arthritis, chronic rash, Bell's palsy, which is a paralysis of the facial nerve, which can be very scary, especially to parents of children who are affected. But I think the orthodox point of view is that most of the time it's self-limited, it's treatable by antibiotics, and only in very rare cases does it cause anything like chronic symptoms, and they're very circumscribed. That is, there's a kind of chronic skin condition. There's potential for neurological manifestations in the form of pain and coming down the leg and the back in the weeks after infection, or in some rare cases, arthritis. So it's worrisome, and it's something that, you know, deserves medical attention and treatment, but it's not like cancer or any kind of chronic condition. And in general, people are pretty satisfied that it's both self-limited and responsive to therapy.
Yet, with that in mind, why did SmithKline-Beecham, SKB, and Connaught Laboratories seek to develop vaccines in the 90s?
There was demand from the patient community, from people just living in endemic areas, as well as from some physicians who treat Lyme disease for a vaccine. It's always good to prevent rather than cure. And there was a sense that the environment of Cape Cod, of eastern Long Island, would feel less toxic if one had protection against the disease.
And that certainly supports arguments that have been made for an array of vaccines.
Yes. And we're entering a new era of, you know, personalized medicine, where both treatments as well as preventive things like vaccines are increasingly being designed for small populations. The Lyme disease vaccine is more in that class, and it's a little bit of a brave new world because we haven't developed that many actual products that are personalized. There was a good deal of skepticism at the time of its initial regulatory review by the FDA as well as the CDC's Committee on Immunization Practices over it being, and I'll use a kind of term they used in the discussions, it being a kind of yuppie vaccine. And, you know, what they meant by that was, you know, it's for the worried well.
Yes.
It's not really going to prevent a fatal disease that we don't have treatment for. But there was concern at the time of regulation, I think mostly about diluting the trust the country has in the whole vaccination program. And there's a lot of concern about undermining that trust with sort of non-essential vaccines or things that seem like they're being pushed by drug manufacturers and stuff like that. And I think that's a very legitimate concern that regulators have.
Does the medical community, medical establishment, Dr. Aronowitz, is there a belief that a Lyme disease vaccine is even needed?
The best way to characterize the medical community is that they don't care a lot, either way. I just don't think there's that much of an interest. You know, it's not like a vaccine for malaria or AIDS or something of that sort. Having said that, there are others who think we should do this. The science is there. You know, the original vaccine had a very interesting, almost sexy mechanism of action. In general, it's very hard to develop a vaccine against a disease which the body itself doesn't produce lasting immunity to. I have had Lyme disease twice. You can get it again. So how do you develop a vaccine that, you know, if you can't even produce natural immunity? Well, this vaccine that was developed by the two drug companies had an ingenious mechanism. It worked on the tick, not on the human. Now, no vaccine is 100% effective. Neither was this.
Is there a path forward that you see for a Lyme disease vaccine in this country?
The same exact vaccine that was withdrawn in the U.S. is used successfully in dogs. I am wary about ever successfully marketing a Lyme disease vaccine because the underlying elements of the controversy have not only not changed, I would say they've gotten even more dug in the intervening years. And I don't have a magic wand to predict the future, but I see no reason for there not being opposition to this vaccine by the Lyme disease community along similar lines if it went through stages of development and licensing in the U.S.
Dr. Robert Aronowitz with the University of Pennsylvania, where he's a physician and a medical historian. What a convoluted and fascinating public health issue. Thank you so much for being with us, Doctor.